Hallelujah. Father God, we just thank you and we praise you. We magnify your name. We thank you, Father, for everything that you've done in our life. We thank you, Father, that you love us so much and that you care about every situation. Father God, we just thank you right now for each every person that's here tonight. We thank you, Father, that you have a plan and a purpose for them, and they will fulfill that plan and that purpose. Father God, tonight as we go to study your word, we thank you, Father, that your word will not return void, but Father God, that that word will penetrate the hearts and the lives of each and every one of us. And help us to be doers of the word, not just hearers only. And we thank you, Father, as we hear that word, that word will permeate our beings, that word will be life-changing to us. But Father God, help us not to be selfish, but help us to go out and take that word and into the highways and the byways, and help us to change other people's lives with the precious word of God. And Father, we just thank you for revival to this generation. We thank you for signs, wonders, miracles, and healings taking place in our midst today. And we thank you, Father, for everything that you have done and everything you are doing. And we thank you that today as we go to speak your word, we thank you for strength, for wisdom. We thank you, Father, as we speak, that it will not be, we come not in our own strength, not in our own power, not in our own might, not in our own ability, but your strength, your power, your might, and your ability, that you be lifted up. And we thank you, Father, as we speak, it won't be as us speaking, but it'll be as you speaking. We thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit that lives big on the inside of us, that leads us and guides us and shows the way, that enables us to minister with boldness and utterance, the uncompromising gospel of Jesus Christ. And Father God, we just thank you right now for mom and dad as they're there in Crusades this week. We thank you for strong anointings being there in Texas. And we thank you for lives being changed and lives being touched. We thank you for everything you have done and everything you are doing both here and around the world. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. God's a good God. Amen. He's always a good God. And like I said, it's good to be here. For some of you that maybe do not know, a couple of weeks ago, I was having some issues and decided to take my blood pressure and found out it was a little higher than what I would like it to be, and decided to go see the doctor. And so just with after a week in the hospital, all kinds of stuff, I found out that I have a kidney disease called focal segmental glomerulonephritis or something like that. FSGS for short. If you want to Google it, type in FSGS. It's a kidney disease, and it'll tell you all about it and all the good things about it. It's very rare, I guess. They only have about 1,000 cases a year. It sounds like worldwide. If I've read right, only about 60,000 cases or something like that. It's a rare disease, but I'm a rare person, so I guess But here's what really happens. I'm reading it from this Google page right here. I get large amounts of protein spilling into my urine, which is interesting. I now know how to know whether you have protein coming out of your urine or not, which you don't know how to do that, but I know how. There's ways to tell. I mean, not you can't tell exactly, but and then I have edemia, which is swelling of the body parts, most notably around the eyes, the hands, the feet, also around the belly. Now, I gained 10 pounds in 1 week, and they say I'm probably carrying about 30 pounds of weight on me, if not more. You know, and most of you couldn't carry the extra 30 pounds of weight on you, that's kind of not really cool. Now, one way to try to get rid of that, and I'll talk about it, is also I take certain pills that are like water pills to try to help you get rid of water. Unfortunately, sometimes I have to go to the bathroom, so anyway, hopefully it'll help in the middle of I'm preaching. Then hypertension, which is what we've found out. Then, of course, low blood protein. The problem is if my protein is going out my urine, my body's not getting nourished, so, it makes you a little more weak. And so it's been a little challenging the last few days or a few weeks, and I'm on a number of different medications. I've never had any kidney stones or anything like that. And so my kidneys have always seemingly been in good shape. But the doctor said, well, if you're going to have a kidney disease, you pick the doozy. So anyway, Actually, what's interesting, though, I guess, you know, I mean, I said I'm a peculiar person. This is the third, number three, the third incurable disease that I've gotten that they don't really know why that I've gotten it. So just I know why, because the devil. But I mean, seriously, it's the third one that I've been diagnosed with since I've been alive. That, you know, this one's a little more serious than the other two. But I got the diagnosis a number of years ago when I thought I had what they call an outer ear infection. Well, I didn't know what it was. My ear was like really hurting up here, and it was like all swollen and stuff. And I thought it was one of those, anyone ever had a pimple, you know, in your ear, and it's like. And so that's what I thought it was. And so I tried to pop it and made a mess and it wouldn't go away. It got worse and more infected. And then my sister comes and says, well, I had this outer ear infection. I went to the doctor and they gave me, I said, well, I think that's what I have. So she gave me the ear doctor. I went to the guy freaked out whenever I got there. You know, after I took some things, he goes, I've never seen this before. Says I've only heard of two cases of this, and I have some kind of reoccurring chondronitis, something I don't know. And it's supposed to. This is before Google, you know, you could really internet wasn't really what it was today. You know, today where you could really you know, figure out what you're going on. He brought me all this material, and he was excited about it because I'm the first person he ever know, like the second person he's ever heard of that he's even known. No doctor even had a patient like, and it was some kind of thing that was supposed to reoccur and it can affect any kind of joint I have. It wasn't just my joint in my ear, but it can affect my knee joints. And he gave me all this prognosis about, you know, how, you know, I might not be able to walk and I might have nose pain from, you know, any cartilage and stuff. So it was like, I'm like, well, that's really, you know, but got over that. And then I had, you know, many of you know, but I had a cornea transplant. And so we asked the doctor, now, is this hereditary? Is this something that, you know, no, we don't know why people get it. And in fact, they said the only thing that they have seen is people who have, you know, great amounts of stress, you know, been able to get, you know, to get that. And I said, well, at that time I had gone through a divorce and, you know, work is not kind of stressful. He goes, I'm talking about people that lose limbs and lose kids, you know, their family dies in front of them, you know, but they don't know that's what caused it. They don't have the clue. So, this one, they don't have a clue either, but my kidneys aren't working right. So, you know, it is what it is. I mean, the devil's a liar. You know, and that's just what it is. And then, you know, you've heard me preach it many times, that the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And, you know, he's also no respecter of persons. He hits us all. And, you know, a lot of times when we're least expect it, and you can either get upset about it or you can continue to believe God. You know, that's what we have to do, is whenever we come to situations, we have to know what we know before we get there. And the reason that it's so important for us to learn, especially about faith, is to know what to do when we face a battle. Because so many times we're not ready, and so many times people get all upset. I don't get upset when the devil attacks me because I expect it. Because Jesus Christ told me 2,000 years ago, before he died on the cross, he told me the devil comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Because just because the devil's here doesn't mean I can't have an abundant life. Now, a lot of Christians for generation after generation, whenever, especially I was a young man, you know, you listen to some of these Pentecostal folks, and it was more about one fine day they're going to get to heaven and they're not going to have any more problems. You know, when the roll is called up yonder, they're going to be there and they're going to walk on streets of gold. And I'm not saying they're not going to do that. But the thing about it is, you know, my message is we can have it good down here. No matter who our president is, no matter who our congress member, you know, is, whether you voted for him, didn't vote for him, no matter what the economy is doing, Jesus came that we might have an abundant life. An abundant life is not just about having a lot of money. And I think that's one thing a lot of Christians have, you know, thought the word abundant. Abundant means having a lot or having more than enough or having overflowing. And that's great, but an abundant life is an abundant life in every area of our life. And I always want to point that out. It's physically, financially, spiritually, emotionally, because you know what? I know a lot of people, a lot of Christians, a lot of good spirit-filled Christians that they're not having an abundant life emotionally. I mean, you know, they have a lot of, there's a lot of psychological issues going on, and a lot of it caused by the devil himself, trying to tell us, you know, we're supposed to know who we are in Christ, but the devil's trying to tell us who we're not. He's trying to tear us down all the time. And so, but you know, the devil attacks each and every one of us in different areas, but he also, the devil's not an idiot. Sometimes we think the devil's an idiot. I mean, I understand he might be an idiot, but you know, in some respects of the word, but he knows how and when and where to attack you. And he's not going to attack you in your strong points. He'll only attack you in your weak points. And so we have to be ready that there are times that the devil's going to attack. Now, my grandfather always said it like this. He always would, you know, I've heard the story after story that, you know, my dad even talked about whenever he was younger and things would happen. Or he said, you know, I've been there with the family. And my grandmother would ask, well, he would ask my grandfather. She would say, like, Kenneth, what are we going to do now? She goes, well, we're going to do what we always do. We're going to believe God. He said, you know, it's another opportunity to show how good our God is. And instead of, you know, because so many times people get all upset about going through situations. And, you know, just because a temporary setback happens doesn't mean that's the end of the ball game. And, you know, when what happens is we have to decide what are we going to do when things aren't going like we want them to go. We're going to have to believe God. And that goes back to scripture right here in Hebrews 11:1. When it talks about faith, because you know what? In order to have faith, you have to know what it is. And Hebrews 11:1 says what faith is. It says, reading from the New King James, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You know, a lot of times in life we have hope. You know, we would like things to happen, but we don't really believe they're going to happen or not. I mean, you know, we'd all like to you know, walk out of here and I'll get $1 million check, you know, when you're on your way out. Everybody like that. I would like that, you know. But, I mean, I don't think anyone in here is even to a point where they hope it happens. They would like it to happen. But sometimes we get a point where, you know, we're, you know, hope it happened. Now, you know, I'm not promoting play the lottery or not, but you know what? You have no hope of winning the lottery if you don't actually play the lottery, although you still will have, I mean, you know, you have a better chance of lightning striking you 7 times before you, or something like that, then win the lottery anyway. But the fact of the matter is, if you don't play, you have no hope at all. You know, I'm not telling you to play. I'm just saying that a lot of people, they don't even have any hope. They don't even know what's going on. You know, so many people are living life with no hope. But not only do we have hope, we can have faith. We don't have to hope that God's going to change things. We don't have to hope. You know, the Bible says clearly that Jesus Christ took his stripes, the stripes on his back 2,000 years ago. And by his stripes, it says we were healed. It doesn't say we might be healed. It doesn't say, you know, in when the roll is called up yonder, we're going to be healed. It says that we were healed 2,000 years ago. Now, we can believe that or not believe that, you know, but we can hope it's going to happen or we can have faith that it has happened. And a lot of times we have to watch our terminology. What are you saying about your life? Because I know a lot of people, I've seen this many times, you know, as we traveled around and had healing lines and stuff like that. Sometimes you see people and they're, you know, real strong anointing going on and there was somebody you saw on a healing line. They came back to the book table and they were looking for some books and stuff and they're saying, well, did you get your healing tonight? Well, I sure hope so. Well, hope is not faith. Hope is not faith. See, hope is a feeling that what is wanted will happen. That's what hope is. Hope is always in the future tense. You know, a lot of people used to use the term, you know, this is not very spiritual, but it's how a lot of folks used to talk. Said, well, we're a hoping and a praying. Well, a lot of people are still a hoping and a praying. You know, and sometimes I wonder if we, you know, sometimes the Bible actually says ask, and so sometimes the people are, they're not actually asking in prayer, they're begging God. Well, God, please, 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 with sugar on top, will you do that for me? Then maybe they don't say it like that, but it seems like a lot of times people are begging God to heal them. Well, why do we have to beg God to heal us? In fact, really, do you realize that according to the word, Jesus already healed us 2,000 years ago? He's not going to go heal us again. We have to accept what's already been happened. And what happened is that we were healed, and by faith we received that. Now, faith is an unquestioning belief. It's an unquestioning belief. Faith is always now. Now faith is. When faith comes in, you know the answer. Do you realize whenever you know the answer, there's no talking you out of it. Now, I'm a stubborn person. You know, sometimes that's good, sometimes that's bad. But when I get it, you know, when I have the answer that I think is correct, you know, and this I know is correct, but I mean, you know, if I think it's correct, there's nobody talking me out of it and telling me anything different. This is the answer. Well, Jesus is the answer. Amen. All right, I know I'm healed. It doesn't matter what it looks like. It doesn't matter what it smells like. It doesn't matter if every time I go to the bathroom, I see protein in my urine. I know that that has to leave in the name of Jesus. It doesn't matter if I'm swelling up to 50 pounds bigger than before. I'm not moved by what I see. I'm not moved by what I feel. And I hadn't been feeling that good. You know, recently. But you know what? Every day I get stronger. Every day I get better. Every day. I mean, I told someone the other day, I said, you know what? I'm just now feeling like I actually can hang out with people for a while. And it wasn't like I was feeling too bad. It's just one of those deals. People are just irritating. You know, and also too, it is tough whenever, I don't consider myself a celebrity because I don't want to be a celebrity because I want people camping out my house with video cameras and everything else, you know, all hours of the night to tweet, hey, Craig came out and got the newspaper today, you know, or whatever. But, you know, I'm not a celebrity, but a lot of people are concerned about me. So every time I walk anywhere, I have to explain the story 18 million times. I go to Walmart and I have to explain what's wrong with me to, you know, every cashier that's there. Or maybe not that, you know. But, you know, it's just, sometimes it gets to be, I know people ask you because they love you and they care, and then after, in fact, I got to a point I had to quit answering. I had so many text messages and like, you never call me back. You never answered me. You know, I'm like, well, number one, I was, whenever they changed the medication and some stuff, one bad thing with some of this blood pressure medication they had me on, it made me really tired until I got used to it. And I was sleeping a lot, which wasn't bad either. I was asleep a lot, you know, but you know, when people were calling and texting, and I'm like, well, I can only return so many calls, so many texts, and you know, I know you love me, so what does it matter anyway? I mean, I'm fine. Everybody knows, you know, if you know me, you know that I'm fine, whether you ask me if I'm fine or not. And even if I wasn't fine, I would still tell you I'm fine because I'm not moved by what I see. And the deal is, but we have to actually believe what we say instead of saying what we don't believe. And there's so many times that you know, so many Christians want to say the right thing. But they're not really thinking the right thing because we really can't be moved because, you know, we have to be the same today when everything is going good than we are tomorrow when everything is falling apart. Because, you know, Jesus didn't come off the cross, you know, didn't undo everything he did. God didn't drop everything, you know. I mean, everything's still the same. Nothing happened. The only thing that happened differently is was the devil came on the attack. That's the only thing that happened differently. Now, reading from the New Living Translation, it says it this way. It says, faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. And it gives us an assurance about the things we cannot see. Brother Hagin, my grandfather, I call him Brother Hagin sometimes so people know who he's talking about. He said that in this scripture, is faith is taking hold of the unseen realm of, you know, of hope and bringing it into the realm of reality. See, before, you were hoping that sometime in the future you're going to get healed, but then whenever it comes in, you realize you've already been healed, then it changes things. See, it changes things. You know, if I was going back to the $1 million thing, you know, I just want to, before I say this, I don't have $1 million at this point in time to give anyone here, but if I did, and I said I had a, you know, let's just say I was a billionaire and you knew I was a billionaire. Let's not pretend. Let's just say that's in the future, okay? Let's not pretend. That's, you know, I don't want to, you know, but let's say I was a billionaire. So, you know, being a billionaire, I had the wherewithal to give you $1 million. And if I told you that in 1 month I'm going to give you $1 million, you'd have a lot of hope for a whole month to be thinking about what things you want to buy or whatever. But when that $1 million went into your account, you would have faith it was there. Now, because you trust me, you might have faith that was there beforehand. Some of you I know would have already, because you know, I'm a trustworthy guy, would already spend part of that $1 million even before you got the money. But you know, but there's a difference between, you know, I know as a kid, whenever there were certain things that my dad said we're going to get to do or whatever, or just like, you know, we're going on a cruise in a couple of days, you know, and you know, it's one thing planning up there, but whenever it becomes a reality, man, it makes you so excited because you're so happy. I'm not sure how happy I am going on a cruise, but you know what? Nothing else. I'll have a good old time on a boat. So it's, you know, but it really hurts, you know, when you're already, you know, fat right now. And, you know, not only are you fat, you're even fatter than me and fat. And then, you know, don't really feel like eating a bunch of food when that's what people do when the cruise is eating. So anyway, but we'll have fun. We'll figure out something to do. But you know, when things become a reality, it's a whole lot, you know, more awesome. But you see, what we have to do is things have to become a reality whenever you don't even see them. You have to decide that it's already happened, even though I don't see it. And that's hard because, you know, it's hard to be excited about something you don't see, but you should be excited about what something you know. And you know that your God is for you. You know that Jesus is with you. You know that everything's been taken care of even before you even fell into the issue. And the thing about it is, you got to just praise God anyhow. Just praise God anyhow, you know, and it doesn't matter. It's, you know, it's, these things are only temporal. It's only temporal, you know. But now some people want to live in their misery. Some people want to stay miserable. Some people want to, well, you know, I don't, you know, or they want to blame God. I don't know why God put this on me, you know, or maybe, well, it's a blessing from God. God gave me this element so I can go out, you know, and I'm just suffering for Jesus. No, Jesus already suffered for you, so you don't have to suffer. And so many times people, we get the lie. There's some lie that someone says, well, I'm suffering with this element, suffering for Jesus. Well, why would you have to suffer? Or they have some kind of a lie thing. Well, I have to suffer with this because I did something wrong. You know what? I've done a lot of things wrong, but just because I did something wrong doesn't, it's not the reason that I'm having this element. The reason I have the element is because the devil's a liar. Amen. All right? And it's not because of your wrong, because all your wrongs became right whenever you were born again. You say, yeah, but since I was born again, I had some issues and I sinned, and you know, but he without sin cast the first stone. You know, you're gonna sin. I understand that. We're gonna tell a lie. You know, I mean, you can't even watch politics without people telling lies and stuff like that. You know, the season we're going to, and it's been more than even that. But anyway, just pray for our governor, our future president, or I don't care whoever it might be. Please just pray. We just you know, that's one thing too. It's interesting how a lot of people, you know, they only want to pray when you know, and we should be praying during election season. But you know what? Even if the person that you don't want to get picked gets picked, don't quit praying. You know, I found a lot of Christians quit. Well, I guess I'm going to suffer for 8 more years or whatever. You know, you're going to suffer for an eternity if you quit praying for your leaders. You know, because I believe, I don't care who is president or prime minister or congressman or governor or whatever, God can speak to people. Prayer changes things. Amen. I don't care whether they profess to be a Christian or not a Christian or un-Christian or liberal or conservative. It doesn't really matter. You know what? God's in control. You know, and I don't care if people are hardline, said I will never do this or never say this or you never say never. You know, because God can change your heart. I tell you what, if you get like Hezekiah was in the Old Testament, whenever the prophet God said, you shall surely die, guess what? He turned his face to the wall and began to pray. He changed his mind pretty quickly. You know, we can change our mind pretty quickly. You know, so, and that's what we should always say, I'm never going to do this. Because I found that usually when you say you're never going to do it, you end up doing it. So, you know, just never say never. You know, but man, God loves us so much. He cares about us so much. You know, and I don't like it when people have pity parties you know, get all upset about what's going on, you know. And I understand, you know, people going through tough times sometimes. People, you know, maybe it's a tough time financially or physically or spiritually or emotionally or whatever. But you know what? Every time that I've ever gone through a tough time, I've looked at some people who are going through a lot tougher time than I have it. And the other side about it is some people are going through a lot tougher time and they don't know God like I know God. You know, and so I think about, you know, how fortunate that I was to be brought up, you know, in a family I was brought up in to, from a young age, to understand how faith works, understand that I can believe no matter what goes on around about me, no matter, you know, that other people, you know, have bad reports. I don't have to believe those bad reports because, you know, if you want to read all the bad things, I mean, I quit reading about some of the bad things because things aren't really that good. So, you know, I mean, there's some, could be some bad outcomes from the disease that I have, you know, that could cause dialysis and, you know, kidney transplants and, you know, and all those kind of things. But you know what? There's also good things to read as well. You know, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what could or couldn't happen. What matters is what do you believe? You know, and sometimes what happens, we start focusing on the negative, and it's hard to be positive when you're focusing on the negative thing. You know, and I understand, I believe more than anybody else about understanding facts. I believe, and not just me believing, because I knew my grandfather probably as well as anybody could know him. He wasn't a very talkative man, didn't say a lot, really. I mean, you know, in my life, we didn't have a lot of heart-to-heart. I mean, I had a lot of heart-to-heart with my dad. Sometimes they weren't really good heart-to-hearts because it was usually, he wasn't really happy with me. I had a couple of those with my grandfather, too, actually. I'm about the only one I would think of that probably ever taken my grandfather off, except for maybe my dad, because I'm sure, you know, but I've had a couple of times at work where he, you know, he never got mad at anyone, but he got mad at me because I actually argued, so deserved it, so, you know, it's one of those deals. Sometimes I say things I shouldn't say. Usually I have stopped from saying things at the wrong time, but not always. But anyway, you know, I knew him as well as you could know him. And I know the one thing that he really, really felt in his heart was a really good thing is combination of prayer and medicine. Because he believed that, you know, even though there are a lot of doctors, you know, we have a lot of good Christian doctors. Of course, Dr. Snell, he's here in our church here in Oklahoma City. I have some good Christian doctors in church in Tulsa and just a lot of good Christian doctors that are good friends of ours, you know. And you know, they believe in prayer. But there are a lot of doctors that don't believe in prayer. They don't believe in God and those kind of things. But you know what? That doesn't mean that God didn't give them the talent or ability to do what they're doing. Because just because I could be the best basketball player ever, and just because I don't believe that God gave me the talent and ability, that's still God gave me that talent and ability to be able to play basketball, whether I do it for his glory or not. Same way with being able to sing or being able to do whatever. God gave me the talent and ability. Just because I don't honor him that he gave it to me doesn't mean anything. But, I mean, he gives us the talent and ability to be able to research and find stuff and things like that. But, you know, it's so awesome to see prayer and medicine working together. And we believe in prayer and medicine, and that we should do, you know, I believe that having done all is to do everything naturally and spiritually you can do, to tack it on both ends. And my grandfather talked many, many times about that. In fact, he was so glad, actually, when the Cancer Research Center of America came to Tulsa and they wanted us to have a healing school there at the research center, and they even talk about, if you see their commercials, how they're whipping cancer from every area, and they use spiritual support as one of their ways they're doing it, because they believe in the power of prayer, and I think there's in you know, in what God's doing. And so you know, through medicine and through believing God, I know things are happening, and that's what we have to do, you know. But then again, you know, I know some people don't want to take their medicine. Well, you know, my blood pressure was pretty erratic, and it was it could put me in some major situations by not taking medicine. So you don't be foolish either. All right. But you know, I talked to my doctor about situations of medicine I've taken, and so they were going to monitor it, and they would be able to cut it down as need to be. Because I'm like, well, if I don't need it, I don't want you taking it if I don't need it. And so, you know, we're monitoring things, you know, really closely. Now, I do feel like an old person. I'm not with any people that are a little older and, you know, or whatever, because, you know, I'm not used to taking as many pills. You know, used to be the 2 Flintstone vitamins a day, but now I never thought that I thought that I would never be taking as many pills as I do, you know, a day and different ones, and you know, and take my blood pressure as many times a day. You know, I carry a blood pressure cuff in my car. You know, so I thought about carrying a stethoscope and everything else, so people just think I'm a doctor. You know, so instead of them, I just carry medicine and, you know, get a little doctor bag with some Band-Aids and stuff. In fact, when my sister was born, this is you don't need to know this, but I'm saying it anyway, just because I thought about this. My mom and dad bought me a little kitty doctor kit or something like that. And so they had it right there. So when my sister was born, I took it to the hospital, and then I had my teddy bear, Jimmy Bear, that I had for a long time. I still have him somewhere in the closet somewhere. This little teddy bear that has a diaper on it, and I named him Jimmy Bear. I don't know where the name came from. So I said, my dad said, I almost left my doctor kid at home, and we got in the car and everything. I go, no, I can't go to the hospital without my doctor kit, you know, because I don't know what good it did, because she was going to be born anyway. But anyway, you know, so maybe I should just carry a stethoscope, and you know, so people actually think I'm a real doctor. But it's been, you know, it's not fun taking blood pressure all the time and taking medication or whatever. But you know what? I'm going to be diligent to do everything in the natural I can do. You know, but all at the same time, you know, I thank God every time I take a pill that I'm healed. Every time, you know, even when I go to the bathroom and I notice that they're according to the signs that they said, because I mean, I can't say for sure, and they won't say for sure until they take an actual test and make sure that there is protein. But according to some signs, that said, well, look for this, look for that, and I see things that look like there's a lot of extra protein in my urine. Then I thank God that the protein's not there. It's there, but I thank God that you know, I'm not moved by what I see, but what I know. And, you know, that's what we have to do. You know, and like I said, we don't try to pull any punches. I'm honestly telling you exactly what I do and how I do it. And every time I preach, I tell you exactly what I do. You know, and whether I'm sick or whether I'm not sick, you know, I mean, this is what I do. This is how I live my life. You know, and I'll give you updates every week if you want them, updates every week, because I don't believe that I should try to hide. Number one, I want people that love me, want to pray, you know, want to stand with me to know what's going on. Because it's okay. That doesn't make me weak, you know, to tell someone I'm going through some challenges. Just like it shouldn't make you weak for you to tell us, hey, you know what, Craig, I got some challenges in my life too. Can you pray for me? Can you pray with me? Because I believe that's what brothers and sisters, you know, in the kingdom, you know, kingdom of God, you know, we're here to stand together and believe together for people. And we see someone that's going through some weak times that we can be strong and help them. But we have to understand that ultimately it's the devil himself that's causing these situations. You know, and I believe the more that you do for God, that the greater attacks will come, because the devil wants to stop what's happening. I mean, he wants to stop what's happening. Of course, we all have our Bibles. We all know the word over in Ephesians, the 6th chapter. Ephesians, the 6th chapter, really lays it out here. It says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities." Against powers, against the rulers of the darkness and of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, it says stand. Now, you know, and I've heard people, they get a hold of the scripture, and they're trying to find out, well, what are the, you know, they're trying to put levels on there. Well, what's the, you know, the principalities and powers and evil? They're trying to figure out all the evil stuff. I don't care what it is. It's the devil himself. Quit trying to figure out, what's more important? You know what? Just come against the devil. Come against the devil. But it says, having done all to stand, we keep standing. So you know what it always tells me is a lot of times that you've done everything you know to do, and then you have a situation. Here's what happens. And, you know, I'm going to be real. It happens to me. It happens to you. We do everything that we know to do, and sometimes it's seemingly that we're not really getting better, or it doesn't seem that things are changing, and we have an opportunity to start doubting. We have an opportunity to start wondering. We have an opportunity to start questioning. Of course, according to Webster's New World Dictionary, that faith is an unquestioning belief. You know, so, you know, if you're in faith, you don't question. But we have an opportunity to question. And so what happens is, when the opportunity to question comes in, we have to know that we have to keep on standing and not question. Now, because a lot of times what happens is people start to retreat. People say, well, I guess I'm just going to have to, I'm just going to accept this. You know, a lot of times, and I've done it before too, you know, we have situations and we've accepted the situation because we didn't want to stand against it. Or, we stood this long and nothing happened, so I guess I'm just going to accept it. It's fact. No, it's not. It's the devil. You know, and it's not God's plan. Because if it was God's plan, then he wouldn't have sent Jesus to tell us in John 10:10 that he came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. That's God's plan. It's God's plan for you to have an abundant life. And in fact, it's so much his plan that he sent his only son to come and to suffer and to die for you so that you could have that. Not only an everlasting life in the future, but an abundant life here. And that's the deal. It's a two-step process. And many people have got a hold of, you know, one fine day we're gonna have an everlasting life, and that's great, and that's awesome. But you know what? For me, I want to have a great life here. And the only way to have a great life here is to decide that I'm gonna have a great life here, and to decide, you know what, I'm not gonna put up with whatever the devil's gonna try to do. Because really, according to God's word, I mean, I have the power. I have the tools. I and this all comes back to when my grandfather figured out Mark 11, that I can have whatever I say I can have. It's really what I say. What I say matters. And it's not because I'm special. It's because Jesus gave me the right. He gave me the right. And he gave me the ability. And he told me what to do. And, you know, and we have so many scriptures that are so helpful. You know, when we don't know what else to do, we just keep standing. We keep believing. We keep having faith. Yeah, but things aren't changing. Well, you know what? When I read that, having done all to stand, I stand, it doesn't give me any other thing. It means I stand until it happens. So if I have to stand there for 10 years, I stand for 10 years. Now, I don't have to stand here for 10 years, but the thing about it is, you know what? I'm willing to stand. It's just kind of like in the Old Testament, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you know, whenever thrown in the fiery furnace and it was turned up 7 times hotter, which is one of the most stupidest things I've ever heard in the Bible, is, you know, how hot does it have to be to melt somebody? You know, because we all know the story, it turned 7 times hotter, and they killed some of the best guards. Some of the palace guards died that day because the king was being stupid. You know, because he let his anger get mad and says, you know what? It's not good enough that you're going to die, you know, in 4.8 seconds or however long it takes to die in a fiery furnace at one time. We're going to make it hotter so you die faster. You know, ultimately they were going to die anyway. But, you know, I like the statement that they made. They said, they told the king, they said, King, you know, I know you're going to throw us in this fiery furnace, but the Lord's going to deliver us. But even if he doesn't, we're not bowing anyway. See, they were committed. It didn't even matter. If they were, even if they're going to face death, they were still not going to bow. they were still going to stand. No matter what. They were committed. You know, and I think about that. Sometimes how committed are we when we're facing our battles? And really, it's not even our battle, because the battle has been won through Jesus Christ. He took the battle scars. You know, by his stripes, we were healed. And you say, well, yeah, but I'm going through an issue. You're going through an issue because you're not using, you know, the elements that you have to use. You're not putting on the armor of God that you can withstand the devil. And you haven't understood that it's not about a physical, you know, healing. It's about the devil himself. It's a spiritual situation. We wrestle against principalities and rulers from on high, things we don't even see. I realize it's not a physical element, because if it's physical, you know, the good thing about being bigger, whatever, a lot of times being physical, maybe you can take care of that. Maybe I can punch harder. Maybe I can hit harder. But it's not about being physical, because, you know, in this realm, it doesn't matter how physical you are, because, what matters is that you know your God. And the Bible says, resist the devil, he has to flee from us. Now, the Amplified says, to run from as in terror. You know, but many times we get afraid. I mean, you hear people all the time, I'm afraid. What are you afraid? I mean, it's election time. You know how many Christians are afraid? I'm not afraid. No, I don't mean that I shouldn't vote and I shouldn't pray. But I'm not afraid. You know what? We've had some pretty bad presidents being elected in the past. So you know what? If another bad one gets elected anyway, God is not going to fall off the throne. Amen. I'm not afraid. Shouldn't be afraid. Because who's afraid of the big bad wolf? I mean, you know, we're not to be afraid. The Bible doesn't say to be afraid. You know, and a lot of times too, I found out whenever we face physical elements, the first thing that comes in is fear. Fear, you can't have fear and faith operating at the same time. Until you get rid of the fear, faith will not operate. You know, and I've spent more time at the hospital, not my personal time out, because in fact, you know, when I checked in from the hospital a week, I'm like, man, I really haven't spent a lot of time. I've had a couple of operations, a couple of things, but never been there that long, and it's kind of weird to be stuck in the hospital. Thank God now that I have flat screen TVs is a lot better than it used to be. In fact, too, sometimes also, I did find out this time, sometimes it was actually better if no one came to see me or bother me so I could actually sleep, and it wasn't too bad, to get some rest. But no one wants to be in the hospital, and that, you know, being cooped up for a while gets irritating, especially whenever you're being cooped up, like, you know, for a time, they didn't know exactly what was. So we're not sure, my blood pressure was high. So I said, we don't know if it's your blood pressure or something causing your blood pressure to be high. So they didn't know what's going on. So, and they weren't able to get it down. So it was just, they were getting irritated. I'm getting irritated. And it was just irritating, you know, it's no fun to be cooped up in a hospital, but just because I happen to be in the hospital for a short time, you know, that's not the end of the story. Just because things happen, you know, I'm not going to get afraid about it. You know, if you get diagnosed with whatever, it doesn't mean you have to be afraid. It means you have to know your God. Have to know your God. I'm going to leave off with one more scripture that I like to read a lot, especially when I'm going through a lot of stuff. James 1:2. It says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. And the New Living Translation says it this way. It says, dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. Consider an opportunity for great joy. It doesn't mean it's going to be joyful. It's not joyful when you hurt. It's not joyful when you don't feel good. It's not joyful when you feel miserable. But you know what? You have to decide to be joyful in spite of your situations. You have to be joyful in spite of your trials. And in fact, one thing I've endeavored to do is, you know, with any kind of medication, there's side effects. You know, they always tell you side effects. In fact, In fact, sometimes I wonder if why don't we take any kind of medication, especially whenever, you know, nowadays with you know, drugs being on TV or whatever, when they're reading that laundry list of all the things that might happen, even death. Anyone ever heard that, you know? I mean, we've all, you've heard side effects from everything from Viagra to, you know, to this, to that, and everything else. And they read them all off because they have to. And usually at the end of the thing, it's like, and even death. You know, so like, wow, I mean, you know, and there's a, I understand that there's a low risk of that from a lot of them, but you know, there are common side effects of a lot of these drugs. You know, and I found out, I've seen people that have said, well, you know, I'm taking this kind of drug, and so I have the side of, I'm not going to have what I say I don't have to have. And so just because something's a common side effect doesn't mean I have to have that common side effect. You know, why should I accept something that I don't need? You know, I mean, I don't need to get more moody or have this or have that or have that. You know, so I'm not making excuses for anything, you know, and so because that's one thing that we have to also endeavor to do when we're going through a situation. Just because it could cause this or cause that doesn't mean it has to. It, you know, and a lot of times, you know, we have, not a lot of times we do, according to the word, we have what we say we have. Man, if, you know, if you're tired all the time, because you say you're tired all the time, you know, and that's like I said, every time I take a pill, I thank God that I'm well. Thank God I don't need this anymore. Thank God it's not going to cause me to be tired. Thank God that I'm not going to have this issue. Thank God that my body is healed from the top of its head to the sole of my feet. I'm healed. I'm well. And it doesn't matter that the next day I wake up and if I'm as swollen as I was the day before, doesn't matter that I went to the bathroom 8 times or 10 times throughout the night. Sometimes it feels like that. You know, it doesn't matter that my body's supposedly not getting the protein it needs. And what happens, the reason, I guess, according, you know, I'm not a doctor, you have to ask the doctor more, but according to what, I guess, because the protein's not going throughout my body, then what my body actually tries to send water or something like that or something to try to, you know, I don't know what it tries. Trying to heal itself or whatever, but so it makes me get, I'm just have a lot of extra weight gain. And I had noticed that for a while. In fact, the doctor says, only because I really hadn't been really good about getting physicals every year like I should. Because my doctor canceled on me one time and I canceled on him one time and, you know, things happened and we did a couple of 3 years and the kidney doctor said, you know what, I think this has been happening for a while. Cordy's looking at some of your tests and things like that. But they're, you know, but sometimes also we have to look at some positives too, because they were like, you know, the great thing about it is you don't have any significant kidney damage, because you know that was another issue. I could have significant kidney damage, because significant kidney damage means I have more issues to deal with and stuff, you know. And so, you know, so really my kidneys are in really good shape. In fact, they were surprised that one thing with my disease is the cholesterol seems to be high, you know, and I've never really had high cholesterol. In fact, they have me on cholesterol medication just in case now, even though I haven't really had any cholesterol issues. Which, by looking at me, people like always thinking you must have high cholesterol. No, I've actually, in fact, it's been really amazing. For a lot of times, the doctor said, "Well, if I was to look at you, I would say I would not think you're in the perfect health." But really, according to all my blood tests and everything else, I was like perfect health. You know, because I am perfect. I was made perfect through Christ Jesus. Joking, but I'm not joking, but I am joking. You know, obviously we need to do the right things, you know, healthy wise and things like that. You know, I'm not the perfect specimen of health, even though you might think that when you see me. No, and we are doing some things to, well, it's hard. Right now I'm just trying to lose the water weight. Once I lose the water weight, I'm going to try to lose. And that was the other issue. What happened is this year I decided to go on a high-protein diet, you know, to try to maybe lose some weight. Well, the high-protein diet wasn't doing me no good because I was just, you know, it was all going in my urine. So anyway, it wasn't really, but they said the good thing about it wasn't hurting me. You know, high-protein diet wasn't hurting me. It doesn't hurt me to have, you know, it just wasn't, my body wasn't getting proper stuff, and all I was doing is getting more and more tired. And so actually, if I would have ate some little more carbs, it might actually give me a little more energy, because I wasn't having, you know, nothing was pumping me up. And so I was having some issues. But you know what? Those things in the past, is behind me. And I know I'm healed. I know I'm well. And I know I'm healthy. And I know that God's doing a great work. You know, when I'm here, you know, I feel better every day. And, you know, and even if I don't, I still feel better every day. Amen. And that's what we have, because, you know, there are some days we wake up and we don't feel good. You know, and it is hard, especially being a minister. You know, there are times, you know, when you have to go and speak, you don't feel good. You really don't really feel like hanging around amongst people, or you're getting in front of people and speaking, especially whenever you're speaking on healing, when you don't feel good. But you know what? God's good. He loves us that much. And, you know, I just want to be honest, let you know what's going on in my life, let you know what I do about it, and hope you do the same thing. You know, hope that whenever you're going through situations that you can stand in faith, not being moved by what you see, not being moved by how you feel, not being moved by anything, but knowing that your faith in God will move you forward, knowing that you can have a better life. Knowing, and it's not just in a physical situation, but I want you to use this, you know, for emotional situations and financial situations or whatever, because, you know, in every area of our body, there is no reason. When the devil's attacking us, we should get mad about it. I mean, I've gotten mad at the devil a lot here recently. And I do that because, you know, he has no right. He has no authority to attack my body. And, you know, but we need to do the same thing, you know, but it's hard because a lot of times whenever you're weak, especially when you're weak emotionally, sometimes it's really hard because you're too busy having a pity party for yourself to realize the devil's attacking you. But we have to know we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Prince, you know, and the devil doesn't fight fair. He knows our weaknesses, and he's gonna attack us there. But you know what? God is still on the throne. Jesus said he'll never leave us nor forsake us. He's always with us at all times. He's touching us. You know, he's there. He's helping us. And you know what? And I believe it's very important to know who you are in Christ. Very, very important to know the word. But it's also important, you know, to have some good brothers and sisters to be there, to stand with you, to pray with you, to hold your hand, especially when you don't know, you know, especially some people that don't know the word like I know the word. But you know what? I also know this. I don't need anybody to pray with me because I know the word. Some people are so busy. Well, if I got enough people to pray, you know, then it'll change things. No. You have to pray. I found that a lot of times the only person not praying is you. You know, because it's up to you to decide that you don't want to have that anymore, that you're going to walk well and healthy. Father God, we just thank you for each and every person that's here. And we thank you, Father, for touching their lives. And we thank you, Father, for this little message tonight. Father, help us understand that we can have faith no matter what. And we can get through any situation, any circumstance, no matter what it is. Financially, physically, spiritually, emotionally, whatever it might be. And we thank you, Father, for helping us to know that God is still God. But Father God, for anyone is here that doesn't know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we thank you, Father, that tonight that they'll make him Savior and Lord of their life. If you're here tonight and you say, Craig, I don't know Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I've never made him Savior and Lord of my life. But tonight I want to do that. I want to make Jesus the Lord of my life. Lift your hand. We want to pray with you. Or maybe you're here tonight and say, Craig, man, I know what it is to be saved, but I kind of turned my back and went away, and I've been living my life my own way. But tonight I want to come home. I want to publicly rededicate my life to God. If that's you, lift your hand. We want to pray with you. Or maybe you're here and you say, Craig, I'm saved. I know what it is to be saved. But you got to talk about the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And I've never been filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, And I want to have that Pentecostal experience for me. I've been curious about that. I want that tonight. If that's you, lift your hand. We want to pray with you. I don't see any hands. Father God, we just thank you right now. First of all, if anyone is here that's not saved, that they don't know Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior, that they don't understand if they die tonight where they're going. We thank you, Father, right now for on a daily basis ascending laborers across their path. And we thank you, Father, that they'll have no kind of peace whatsoever until they come to that salvation knowledge of your son, Jesus Christ. And we thank you for it now in Christ. And we pray, amen, amen.